You've come across an interesting tidbit here. I want to get your take on it. Indigenous South American people are dark-skinned, dark-haired, yet so many of their gods are depicted as tall, pale-skinned gods, white hair. Why?
Well, you know, the research that I've done, George, into the Sumerian culture and looking at the Anunnaki are described as basically they look like us. They created us in their image and after their likeness, as a lot of the Sumerian texts describe. And they're basically tall, pale-skinned beings, I mean, very similar to us. But what's really interesting is that whether they're the Anunnaki or not, around the globe, we have stories of a description of a god coming and visiting areas that the native people, you would think, would have a god that looks more akin to them. And what we find in places like South America, there are various god references of Viracocha and Kukulcan that come to visit, you know, these people. And they're always depicting their god, well, as a tall being with pale skin and white hair. As an example, we have the spot of in Palenque, the King Pakal, another South American god king, is, again, described to be, you know, pale skin, you know, and he's 7 to 8 feet tall, and they actually buried him in a sarcophagus under a great pyramid there in Mexico. Now, what's really interesting, again, is that the reference of his coffin looks like he is actually taking off in a rocket ship. So one has to wonder why that, one, there are references on various continents that, you know, people of dark skin, indigenous to various regions, have a god that is very similar across the continents that does not fit their genetic makeup. So it really starts to raise the question as to why they're referencing, you know, their great teacher as a being that always comes down from the heavens and does not look pretty much anything like them.
Well, and I was gonna ask you if, you know, they could have been Eastern Europeans or Europeans that came over, but they always are depicted as, just as you said, coming down from the sky.
Right. They never say that their gods came across the lake or down from the mountains. They always cited these beings as coming from the heavens. And George, you know, as we've been talking about this subject tonight, for understanding precession as a new piece of a puzzle to understand in our cycle of time, it really starts to raise a lot of questions about knowledge given to ancient man. Was it either given to them by a being from the heavens, you know, like Viracocha to the South American people, or is there also a mix of lost information that we seem to come into enlightenment, if you will, through different ages of time, and we lose this information? But what's really interesting is it seems that many cultures were aware of this cycle and said, well, for us to convey this to the next round of knowledge, when we come into this knowledge, let's build monuments and edifices to show that we were also aware of these specific points in time where we were much higher advanced in our consciousness. So, you know, just kind of restating back to this precession cycle, I mean, beyond the technical considerations, a moving solar system appears to provide a much more logical reason for why there is a great year. Plato's term of a great year is that we come in and out of these alternating dark and golden ages. So if a solar system carrying Earth actually moves in a huge orbit, subjecting Earth to the electromagnetic spectrum of another EM source, like our sun, but other worlds, it's very possible that, you know, these effects, these electromagnetic effects, will have an effect on our magnetosphere, our ionosphere, and possibly life as we know it here on Earth. So it's an interesting idea that there has been some research. For instance, at UCLA, there was a Dr. Valerie Hunt, who did studies in changes in ambient electromagnetic fields and how it affects human cognition and performance. In short, she found out that basically subtle fields of light actually affect our consciousness. So it's an interesting idea to think about this age of precession that we go through, this cycle of precession. As our two suns in a binary orbit come closer together, we actually have effects happening in our solar system that might actually explain a lot of what we're seeing by this model. Most of the people, as you've mentioned many times, Richard Hoagland, you know, he has a very esoteric view of hyperdimensional physics happening at certain areas on every planet at a certain longitude or latitude. I think it's 3.14. I forgot what his thing is. But the point is that maybe there's some validity to why every planet in our solar system is heating up, or why there are effects taking place on our planet that we can't explain. If we understand that there are gravitational and electromagnetic effects caused by other planets to us, just like the moon affects our tides, it puts this idea of precession into a whole new line of thinking to suggest that as our sun rotates around this other binary star and is curving through space, we're gonna get introduced to new electromagnetic energies, whether they be other stars that are now closer to us, other planets perhaps around our second sun that could be affecting us. And again, this is where the science starts to cross over. There was a gentleman named Richard Mueller at, I forget actually where he was teaching, I believe it's at Stanford, that he did some new models and showing that, you know, in a binary solar system, it's very possible that our second sun also has planets orbiting it. And, you know, his theory was that there was another planet called Nemesis that orbits our second sun. And while it orbits our second sun, it passes through a very large asteroid belt called the Oort cloud. We know it exists. It's billions of miles beyond Pluto. So very possibly in this Oort cloud of asteroids is our second sun. And around this second sun, Dr. Mueller theorized that there's another planet called Nemesis that, while orbiting around the second sun, dislodges comets and asteroids and hurls them towards our inner part of the solar system. So there's a lot of very interesting models to explain the idea that, you know, effects from precession with a binary model can really explain a lot of interesting pieces. And, George, what we'll talk about here at some point tonight is how this affects the orbit of Nibiru. All of the models put forth by Zachariah Sitchin show a knowledge of 12 members in a solar system, and that Nibiru orbits around our one sun every 3,600 years.
That's right. And I've always wondered how it keeps its own heating system, but it could be done from within.
Yes, and it also can explain how it can go way far into the reaches of the depths of space and then somehow orbit back around towards us. That can be a lot more easily explained when we incorporate a binary solar system, meaning it loops around our sun, it speeds up as it comes towards our sun, loops around, and then as it approaches the far depths of space, it starts to speed up again and loops back around from our second sun. So I have to do some new research in creating some planetary models of incorporating Nibiru's orbit into a binary solar system. And I really think that there's a lot of information that can be learned through this, because we're now introducing a new variable to understand that many of the ancient cultures were not only, one, aware of precession, but recorded astronomical events over thousands of years. And again, some of these megaliths, like the Giza pyramids, like Stonehenge, like Angkor Wat, have been anchored or marked at specific times based on an astronomical calendar of time. So we forget that our calendar is based upon movements of the heavens. Our year, 365 days, is defined by us looping around the sun once. It takes 365 days. So looking at solar orbits and understanding that we rule our life and time based upon the movements in the heavens, it really is an interesting thing to note that many different cultures, the Mayans, the Egyptians, went to great lengths to record their view of the heavens at different stages in time along this cycle of 24,000 years. They understood it somehow and made adjustments in their life to incorporate when it was good or bad times to make decisions of great importance.